And I'm thankful for Adrian and Dana. They're going to be dedicating their babies this morning, right after the sermon, so we look forward to that. But I want to welcome again those that are joining online, you that are joining in here. We need prayer. As Reverend Ray just said and prayed so well, we need to pray because these are dangerous times. I ask that you would pray for my family. My cousin lost her son, and he committed suicide. And a lot of people are out there hurting, and we don't even know it. This week, I challenge you, take time to care. Take time to care about somebody. And even if you don't stop and talk to them, just care about them. Because we know that everybody needs God. Amen? Amen. So welcome again. I thank the Lord for His word. And we're going to invite you again to Luke chapter 4. We've been talking about living through the test. Living through the test. That's been our theme. And we've shared with you a couple of sermons where Jesus was being tempted. And we're actually using that as our model of how we can make it through our struggles and through our trials in life. It's amazing that you were not automatically whisked away into heaven the moment you got saved. It's amazing that God would allow you to face some difficulties. But then as we look at what His Son faced, you and I, all we need to do to succeed is to follow His example. Luke chapter 4, reading verses 5 through 8. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power I will give you, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. If thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. So that's the proposition. Let's see how Jesus responds. And Jesus answered and said to him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. If you don't mind, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't take the shortcut. God bless you. You may be seated. Father, we ask that you bless us now as only you can. Even as I studied, I realized that I need your grace and your power to deliver what you've given me. Bless, Lord, our time together that someone may realize that they can turn to you and find hope. That they can turn to you and find blessing. There are many standing in the need of prayer. And Lord, I pray that your word would come alive in their hearts. Bless them, strengthen them, and meet their need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I ask in his mighty name, amen. I was traveling the highway and the sign said, easy pass. So with my naive understanding of what that meant, I got over into the lane because it said, easy pass. And I said, my, isn't that something? Other people having to pay a toll, I get to go through for free. That's what I told myself. 3 weeks later, I received the notice in the mail that you got to pay this bill because you didn't go through the toll. Ladies and gentlemen, salvation is free, but there's a cost in life. Let me say that again. Salvation, your gift of eternal life, is free, but there's a cost associated with living. It comes in the form of various tests that we face in life. Sadly, many people choose to take the shortcut. They don't want to endure the pain. They don't want to have to go through that moment of trial. They certainly don't want to have to be in a place where they need something. The motto for our nation is, you can make it on your own. It's competitive, but get to the top as quickly as you can. And everything will be all right. That's what they tell us. But in the Bible, those who have sought after, those who have said to themselves, I'm going to do it God's way, they've had to endure some trials. Some of you sitting in here, you came into 2023 thinking, man, I'm in the home stretch. I got it made now. I got over that last bill or had to go through that last storm, and now I got it made. Only to find that 2023 had its own set of problems. Isn't that something? How many of y'all grew up in the country? Any country folk in here? Okay, I got a few country folk. And some of y'all in the city would do the same thing. Rather than going down the main street to get to your house or get to your home, you would always pick a path around Miss Sally's house or over in Uncle Tom's barn, and you would make it way, your way home, not realizing that there are dangers. I grew up in the country, and we had to deal with bobcats, coyotes, and all kinds of stuff. So you got to be careful with the path that you choose, because even though it might be the short one, it might not be the right one. Are y'all listening? Our society today is built on the fact, get it done quickly, get it done cheap. As a Christian, God will not accept poor workmanship. His standard is high. His ways are holy. He doesn't lead in any path except the path of righteousness. And then he says, my name is on this, so get it right. But the good news is, here's the good news. You do not have to travel on your own. Can I tell you what my grandma said? He walks with me. He talks with me. And he tells me that I am his own. It may get rough sometime, but the joy we share as we journey there, none other has ever known. Anybody know about that journey? Look at somebody for the second time and tell them no shortcuts, no shortcuts. Here was Jesus facing a trial. And Luke says it was his second one. The order in other gospels are arranged somewhat differently, but the same test. The devil understood that Jesus was sent on a mission to be ruler of the world. So the devil proposed to him, say, look, Jesus, I can make this easy for you. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Isn't that something? How do you do that? He's a spirit being. And I'm going to get into it in just a little bit. Even though the devil is a spirit being, he is not sovereign. Get that in your head. People are looking for the devil on every corner. I ain't looking for the devil on every corner because I know who walks with me. I know the one who owns me. I know the one who told me that he is my shepherd and I'm his child. So the devil proposed to Jesus. He said, now, I can make this easy for you. All these kingdoms and the glory of them, I will give you. And all you got to do is one thing. You don't have to work any miracles. You don't have to go through this long thing. And I know you're certainly looking forward to that cross that you have to bear, because Jesus knew he was going to die from the moment he came into this world. He knew that. The cross was not a surprise to him. So he said, Jesus, hey, look, I got your plan right here. You got to do one thing. Bow down and worship me. Now, you and I could probably think about some of the things that Jesus could have done to go ahead and comply with that and then get the devil out of the way. But he didn't take the shortcut. He didn't take the way that a lot of people would travel. Jesus said, it is written, you must worship God and serve him only, exclusively. Anytime you take your mind off of what God told you, you're now on a path called shortcut. You're now on a way that you say, oh, this is easier. Now, why am I preaching this sermon? Because I know that there are some of you who are struggling, and you automatically think the struggle is wrong. My daughter would say, the struggle is real. Wrong or right, you got to make it, and you got to do it God's way. Because if you don't do it God's way, let me hurry up to the end of the sermon. If you don't do it God's way, then you're going to have to do it again. Anybody ever experienced that? So now, what is the temptation for us taking these tests? Why is it that we take these tests? First of all, a person who doesn't want to do it God's way or wants to find another way, what I call power takers, they seek the easy way rather than God's way, and their motto is, do anything to get ahead. Do anything to get ahead. And their second motto is, by any means necessary. Oh, yeah. I'm 70 years old. Did that. Didn't work. Had to start over. You don't want to have to repeat what God told you to do because you should have done it in the first place. Now we can talk. Are we on the same page? So three things that people look at when they're taking the shortcut and reasons for taking the shortcut. One is that we choose convenience over obedience. You know, we got this corner store mentality. Whatever you missed in the grocery store, you go back to the convenience store and they got it. Problem is, it's jacked up. Problem is, they marked it up so many times that their marker ran out of ink. Go to the convenience store, all you want is a thing of aspirin. And what cost you at Walmart, what cost you at Dollar General, $2, now you're paying $6. Shortcuts. People want the convenience of knowing that it's right there. And Lord knows some things in life, you got to struggle to get it. Wasn't easy for some of you who decided to further your education. And even though you received help along the way, you had to do it. But didn't it feel good when you had gone through the course, was able to walk across that stage and somebody had a diploma or a degree with your name on it? Talk now. You held your head up high. And you maybe sung a song in your heart, the Lord has been with me, and he's the one that receives all the glory. How many of y'all been there? It wasn't the shortcut. You had to do it the right way, and now you're feeling the appreciation for all that you had to go through in order to get to that point in life. What am I saying? If we're going to get to God's kingdom, if we're going to get into glory, ladies and gentlemen, there is no shortcut to the kingdom. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. It may get hard sometimes, but it's not impossible. You can make it. I wish you would encourage somebody and look at them and say, you can make it. You can make it. Don't give up now. Don't throw in the towel. Don't say it's too hard. Look around you. Some of the old folk got gray hair. Go to them and say, how do you make it? And they'll tell you, it may get hard sometimes. But the Lord brought me saved thus far. Can anybody testify to that? People choose convenience over obedience. You go to the fast food lane and it ain't fast enough. Now they got this thing that you can check out of the store. You don't have to get a cash register. You don't have to go through all of that. They can scan everything in your heart, go directly to your bank account and debit you for the charge, and out you go. You better hope you got the money in there. Convenience. Second problem we run into is that people want recognition over righteousness. Let me just go on to the end of this story and tell you some things you do in life that are good. Nobody's going to recognize it but God. Another thing I want to tell you, there are some people that no matter what you do, you ain't going to please them. So just go on about your business, do what God told you to do, and it's done. Don't be looking for people to stand up and say, oh, good job, because they're going to say, you ain't good enough. Well, that's all right. You only have one that will judge you, and that's God Almighty. But people choose those shortcuts because they want people to recognize it. Listen, you can't take a bow every time you do something. Go on about your business. My mama told me something one time, and it didn't make sense then, but it makes sense now. She said, you can't spend your time looking in the mirror and then looking at what you're doing. I said, what? And I learned in life, if you're going to be effective, watch what you're doing. I can't wait till next Sunday sermon. I can't wait till next Sunday sermon. That last test that Jesus was put to, that last test that we're going to bring up, and it's about how you deal with circumstances in life. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. The devil told Jesus, if you be the Son of God, cast yourself down. Listen, you ain't got to do all that kind of crazy stuff. Just take care of your assignment. Let me move on. I got a few more things I want to tell you. Last thing is, people want self-glory rather than suffering for God's glory. Let me just hurry up and give you a scripture on that one. It says in the book of Titus, I believe, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I know you can't stand folk talk about you in church. Yeah, I'm going down your street. Can't stand the way they look at you. They won't even sit on the same pew as you. Listen, if that's your worst problem, you ain't got no problem. Are y'all still in the house? Yeah, I know we got company in the house, but I got to preach to the congregation, amen? Because y'all going to be here next Sunday. And I'm trying to tell you something. Amen? So no shortcuts in life. Nothing should be able to separate you from the plan that God has for you, because Lord knows nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. What I ran into as I looked at this passage, I found it very strange that the devil was claiming power, claiming that he had authority over all the kingdoms of the world. So I want to debate that. I want us to look at that. Because I think some of you are saying to yourself, whenever something goes bad, the devil, quit giving glory to him. Just stop it. I'm going to prove to you. The Bible says, first of all, the devil claimed that he had authority over all the earth. He said, come here, Jesus. In a moment of time, he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. I will give this to you and authority over them if you'll bow down and worship me. So what he was really saying is, I control this earth, which was a lie. He doesn't. God's got the deed to this earth, and that includes you. Psalm 24 and verse 1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness of it. Everything. Your toenail belongs to God. That hair that just fell out your head, or the one you just colored, that belongs to God. And I'm not trying to be ridiculous, but I'm telling you, you and I belong to God. He does not have complete authority over all the earth. Watch this. You think that's something? Watch this. Job chapter 1, Before the devil could lay a hand on Job or anything that he had to go to God, get God's permission, and then go back and test Job. Before the devil could tempt Jesus and put him to a test, he had to go up to God and say, can I test your son? God said, go ahead. Now, if he said of Job, there's none like him in all the earth, think about what he said about Jesus. You mean you want to test my rock in the weary land? You want to test my holy son in whom I'm well pleased? You want to test to see what he's got in him, which I know he's got nothing but good. You want to test him? Jesus said, go right ahead, but you're going to be sorry you put him to the... Ah, I wish I had somebody in here that knows what I'm talking about. Watch this now. He tempted Job in every way that he could, but God said to him, you got a limit. But when he came up against Jesus, watch this please. Jesus had fasted 40 days, hadn't drank any water, didn't eat any food, was as weak as he could be. And here comes the devil showing him all this stuff. And here's Jesus saying in the spirit, you don't know who I am. But instead of me proving who I am, let me show you what's written in God's word. You shall worship the Lord God, and him only shall you serve. Watch this. As Jesus was weak in the body because he was using the word, that gave him strength. How many of you, life has broken you down, has caused you so much heartache and grief that you've been over, but as soon as you hear a word from the Lord, you straighten yourself up and you say, God is my life. God is my strength. God is my help. Whenever I call on him, he hears my prayer. Yeah, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side every time it's going to happen. Y'all done slow down. Y'all speed me up here. So when he made this proposal to Jesus, Jesus knew what the word says. You don't have all that control. And some of you are thinking the devil has, he doesn't have all that control. Every time he tests you, he's got to go up to God, ask permission, tell God what he's going to do, and then come back to test you. But by that time, the Lord has already given you enough Holy Spirit. He's already given you enough word. So when the devil arrives, you say, come on in. He does not have absolute authority. So if the devil doesn't have absolute authority, then why is he wreaking havoc over our world today? I'm glad you asked that question. He has no control over God's people. Notice I said God's people. Watch this. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. I'm going to read it, partly because I forgot it, and partly because I need to make sure I get it right. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. That was yesterday. According to the prince of the power of the air. Look at this last part. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So the devil does have control over some folk. But when you bow the knee to God and not the devil, you're saying, Lord, I'm your child. Lord, I belong to you. May not have done everything I should have done, but I know how to pray when I do wrong. Can I get some witnesses in here? So remember whose child you are. Let me get back to this test so we can close this message. Remember whose child you are when you're being tempted. Remember whose child you are when the struggles of life become so real. Remember whose child you are when people on your job making lies up about you to get you out of your job. Remember that the same God that gave you that job will help you keep it. But if he doesn't help you to keep it, he'll give you another one. Don't talk up in here. He does not have complete control. So when he comes to you, he's lying. He's feeding you a lie because he wants to deceive you. That's the way he got Adam and Eve. And Adam, I got to say this, Eve was deceived and she admitted it. Adam kind of figured out, well, I'm going to eat first. I'm going to see what happened. The Lord said, if you eat, you shall surely die. And I'm going to see what happened. So when she didn't die, he said, go on, give me a piece of that fruit there. Isn't that something? Men, be men. Don't back down from your responsibility. Amen. You got to help. You got somebody who will stand beside you through thick and thin. And as soon as the struggle comes out, this woman right here had nerve enough to tell God, this woman that you gave me. Isn't that something? Instead of being a man, Lord, we both got messed up. And we need your help. Let me hurry up and close this sermon. I realize I got something. But you can't take the shortcut. You can't blame other people. You can't make up excuses. Just walk the walk. Talk the talk. Live the life that God has called you to live. Now, how do you avoid the shortcuts? Look at somebody and say, how can I avoid these shortcuts? The answer is do the same thing that Jesus did. Do the same thing that Jesus did. Take the word out, use the word, put the devil in his place, and you go on about your business. That's how you do it. First thing, avoiding shortcuts, resist the pressure of time. Resist the pressure of time. You make so many mistakes when you get in a hurry, rushing through life. Stop and smell the roses. Stop and feel the air, the gentle breeze that's falling upon you. Stop and live. For God's sake, breathe. You got people that are running at a frantic pace, don't know when they get there, and once they get there, they say, okay, let me see where else I can run. Slow down. Will you do that? Here's the devil coming up to Jesus. And the Bible says, in a moment of time, a split second. The relevance of that is that Satan may be on a time limit, but if you have Christ in your life, you've got eternal life. If the devil can get you speedy up, if he can get your giddy up to go, then he knows that he's got you following his plan. He wants you to just rush through life instead of walking by faith, instead of praying to God for guidance. He showed them all of these things and the glory of them. It's okay, Jesus, we got to get in a hurry. We got to seal this deal right now, and I want to make this proposal to you, but listen, you got to give in to what I'm saying. I'm showing you all these kingdoms. You can have it in that same moment. Doesn't he want to make things easier for you? Why tell the truth on your taxes? If you can just put an extra few dollars in a place there and you'll get a refund. How many of y'all know the government giveth and the government taketh away? But when the government taketh away, they taketh away more than what you giveth. You can't take shortcuts in life. I just messed y'all up. I know some of y'all getting ready to fill your taxes out. You know, I just messed you. I came to church and the preacher's supposed to be preaching the word. Then he started talking about taxes. Yeah, because you cheat on them. Jesus was able to respond to Satan in a way that defeated him because even though he had a ministry that only lasted 3 years, Jesus was not in a hurry. He would take the time to pray. He would take the time to prepare. And then he would take the time to present. Anytime you got time to play with little children and say, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, that's someone who knew time management. Are y'all still in the house? Trying to tell you something. Do not put yourself under the pressure of time. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, King Saul decided that he couldn't wait on the prophet Samuel. You know how preachers are. They're always 5 minutes late. So he couldn't wait for the prophet to come who was supposed to make the sacrifice, and then they'd go into battle having God's preparation and his plan upon them. Saul decided, I'm not going to wait. I'll just go and make the sacrifice myself. When Samuel showed up 5 minutes later, he said, What have you done? What have you done? And Saul said, well, you know, we ran out of time, and I had to make this sacrifice before we went into battle because I knew that we needed God's blessing. Here's the way Samuel responded to him. You have acted foolishly and have not kept God's commands. Now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for a person who after my own heart. God said that. When Jesus said to the devil, you must worship God, he said, I'm not going to take your shortcut. But notice also he said, and him only shall you serve. I want to ask you this blunt question. Who are you dedicated to? Where's your dedication today? Is it to God only? Or you got an agenda that you're following through life? Take time. Make sure that it's right. Second thing, people presume that there's gain to it. I've got something that I can gain if I do it this way. The devil showed him all the kingdoms of the world, said, hey, Jesus, you can gain if you do it this way. Jesus himself said in the gospel later, in the gospel of Mark, what shall it profit a man or woman if they gain the whole world and lose their soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? When Eve was being tempted, she presumed that there was something to gain from eating of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible said that before she ate it, she saw. She saw. What did she see? She saw that it was something that was good for food, trying to justify. She saw that it was able to make one wise, and she also saw that it was a lovely tree, nice tree. Warning, every rose has thorns. Be careful. Don't presume that because something looked good, that it is good. Check it out. Make sure it's what God told you to do, instead of you telling yourself and say, well, the Lord must want me to have it because he wouldn't have put me in the position that I'm in. You need to shut up. You just need to zip it real fast and say, Lord, show me the way. Then lastly, people premeditate the outcomes in life. I call them the overthinkers, okay? Overthinkers. People want to think beyond where they are right now and make sure that it's going to be all right. Overthinkers. Jesus did not overthink. And watch this. Even though he was the Son of God, he relied on the Holy Spirit to bring to him what he needed to know. A lot of people say, well, yeah, you know, I'm going to get me a brand new car just like that one. Yeah, that Mercedes out there, that's the one I'm going to get. You better not presume. You need to ask yourself some serious questions. Can I afford Mercedes payments? Can I afford it when Mercedes kind of break down and it ain't on warranty? Can I afford to buy all the parts that have to come from overseas? See, you got to start asking yourself some serious questions. A lot of people say, well, I want God to use me. Get on your knees first. Pray and make sure that what you're asking for is what God plans for your life. Because you don't want to be, as the proverb that Jesus said, put your hand to the plow and then have to look back. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be tested. I guarantee it. I do not know when. I don't know how you'll be tested. But I can tell you one thing. There is no shortcut. Jesus didn't take the shortcut, and neither should you. Now talk to yourself right now. Pastor, talk to you. Pastor, I will not take shortcuts. I'm going to do this right because God's way is on what I'm doing. Finally, in closing, three things you need to focus on, lessons that we can learn from this, what I call takeaways. Don't get pushed into anything by the devil. Don't let him push you through life. Don't feel like you got to rush through life. Take your time. Understand exactly what it is, what God wants you to do, and do it with all your heart. Thing number two, stop imagining things that are not God's will for you. Just because somebody else has it doesn't mean you have to have it. I tease my wife sometimes. She has the shopper's motto. See it. Like it, put it on a credit card. She's going to kill me when I get out of church, but that's all right. Finally, in closing, accept full responsibilities for your action. Accept full responsibilities for your action. Isn't it something that nobody was with Jesus in the wilderness except God's Spirit and the devil? So the question is, you're in the wilderness. You've got this issue going on. You're being tested. Who will you listen to? Jesus obviously listened to God Almighty. In your life, saints, you're going to face some things. And it's going to be an uphill climb. But don't worry about it. Because the same God that brought you to the wilderness will take you through the wilderness. The same God that allowed you to be tested, whom the devil had to get permission to test you, that same God will strengthen you to the point where you will not walk out weaker. You're going to walk out stronger. Can you say amen? Father, we're so grateful. We're so thankful for your many, many blessings. Thank you for how you saved us. Thank you, Lord, for now the devil is wanting to test to see what we've got. But Father, all we've got is you. But we're going to discover that when we got you, you're more than enough. Bless us and keep us, we pray. Humble us if you have to. But more importantly, stay with us, Lord. Through all of this journey, through all of these trials, stay with us. Keep your hand of grace and love upon our lives. And we know that we will make it through the test. We pray it in Jesus' name, and all the people of God said, amen and amen. God bless you. I'm going to give the invitation. I'm going to give the invitation. If there be one today, maybe we've said something to get you to thinking about your life and your future and where you need to go in life, how you need to make it through those trials. But you're at a point now where you need to rededicate yourself or give your life to Christ. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today would be a good day. If you've never made him Lord of your life, today would be a good day. I know you're online. Those of you that are on YouTube and Facebook, you can't come in here, but you can say, Pastor, I want to make that promise that I'm going to live for God. If that's you today, surrender your life. Give him complete control. Come on, man.